Hello and welcome to the next wonderful episode of the Authentic Ibiza Tribe. Today we're recording from the Hub Podcast Studio, so we've got wonderful sound. Today I'm really, really excited to be interviewing another strong, wonderful woman, strong by name and strong by nature. She's been on the island many years and she's going to give us her wonderful story of how she came here, what she loves about the island and what she's got to offer the island itself and you, the listeners. So we're going to jump straight into it, no messing around. I'm Sadie Mills and today we're interviewing Lisa Strong. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, Sadie. Thank you so much for this invitation. I'm really excited.
Your first ever podcast as well. I'm honoured.
Podcast.
Absolutely honoured. You've done lots of talks before. I've seen you do lots of workshops and things, but never a podcast. So I'm proud to have you, my love.
Thank you. My northern dulcet tones
are here. Great, and we love to have you. So let's get straight into it. So who are you, Lisa, and what do we need to present to the world?
Okay, so as I say, thanks, Sadie. So my name's Lisa Strong. My company's Strong for Life. I am a life transition coach, also qualified in nutrition, I host retreats, and I'm a mum and a wife, and have a huge love of Ibiza. I've been here for 8 years, so living here for 8 years.
Okay, so when did that first love for Ibiza start? When did it all kindle that relationship with Ibiza?
I remember it well. It was September 2001, so I came with a group of girlfriends. I wasn't with Phil at the time, I was with another guy. He wasn't here. And, there wasn't much sleeping going on.
No.
Definitely not much wellness. And
funny how the tables turn.
Completely. But, yeah, we did all the big clubs like Pasha, Amnesia, El Divino, Ida, all of them. And I remember getting home and saying to the girls, I'm going to live there one day.
Really? Wow.
And I worked in finance then. Everyone was like, what are you going to do? Sell tickets on the beach? But in my heart of hearts, I just flipping knew, my soul knew I belonged there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do have that. You do. I mean, nearly everybody me too. Nearly everybody that's been on and everyone that I've spoke to about coming on all have that defining moment where they just go, something clicks, something goes into your heart and that is it. You know.
Yeah.
So that was in 2001 with all your girlfriends.
Oh, yeah, space as well. I think it was actually in space. I was like, I'm going to live here. But it was actually the time. So it was when September 11th had happened, 9/11.
Wow.
So we were walking down the beach in San Antonio and I remember this guy coming up, literally selling CDs, I think it was at the time, going, have you heard about World War III? And we were like, what are you talking? I mean, I think we were still a bit like up in the clouds from the days before. And when we got back to the hotel, everyone was sat around. Like,
it was actually the day.
It was the day. So anyway, fast forward a little bit, and I'm now with Phil. Been with Phil 18 years, and you talk about like Ibiza and da da da. We were both on the island that week. It was both our first time on the island in Ibiza that same week, because everyone knows where they were for 9/11,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, same when Princess Diana died, everyone can place themselves.
Exactly that. Mm. And I was like, wow, we were...
Sliding doors.
We didn't meet in Ibiza then, but yeah, sliding doors, exactly, yeah.
And did you meet him in the UK and both of you say that you want to be in Ibiza? You wanted to live here?
So we met in Garlands in Liverpool,
yeah,
clubbing. And we both had a love for Ibiza, so we came to Ibiza every year with different... So every year we came, the experience changed. So at the beginning, it was all about clubbing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would start, we'd come with other couples, instead of us going girls and guys.
Yeah.
It was like, we'd come with couples and we'd go Bambuddha, you know, we'd have meals and then have a couple of club nights. And then we started just exploring a bit more of the island every time we came. And... what year was it? I think probably 2012. So I'd always wanted to live here. Phil thought it was not possible. He was like, when we retire, we'll have a retirement place.
Mm.
And we were in Brazil on holiday at this little guest house. It was like this married couple that owned it. And I was meditating. This was February 2012. And I came out of meditation and I said to Phil, this would be my dream in Ibiza. And Phil went, me too. That was it. I was like,
sign here.
So that August, we came, just the two of us, and we started looking around estate agents. August 2013. And then we ended up putting an offer on our place in the September, 2013, it all kind of, once we'd made the decision, the universe literally made it happen.
And this is the house that you're now still living in?
Yes. So we, this is a story. So I had one friend on the island who worked in property. So we met up with him in Banbudra and we were like, look, we want to buy a place. We'd like somewhere with a bit of land. We'd like to do retreats, you know, in the future, blah, blah, blah. And that was in the August. We got home and I got a phone call on the Monday and he was like, Lisa, this property's coming on the market. It's perfect for you and Phil. Can you get back out here? And I was like, we just got home. Mm. And he was like, I feel like you need to come. So that's what we did. We flew over. We looked at this crazy place that had like gargoyles in the garden. It had a like statue that looked like Donald Trump. It had a big gorilla with a skirt on. Seriously, this place, it was called Athena. And it was a bar restaurant at the time. And that is the house that we've renovated and now...
Yeah, because it's been a long-term project. I mean, it's been going on for you for years, hasn't it?
Well, 2013 this started. Wow. Yeah. So, like, we're into almost a decade.
But Phil has done most of the work himself, no?
He's done a lot. I mean, we had a builder, we had an architect. He's done all the micro cement floors. He's done all the electrics. He's kind of, he has... I mean, there's a lot of blood, sweat, tears, money... How we're still together, I don't know, but we are. Yeah, it's been the most challenging.
And you've had
thing.
A baby in between that.
And we had a baby.
Yeah.
So basically, what happened was we were trying for a baby for 3.5 years. So I was in finance. My mum hadn't been well for a lot of years, and my job was really stressful, like really, really high targets. You were only as good as last week's figures and all that kind of stuff. So after the Brazil trip and deciding on Ibiza, I decided I just wanted to leave finance. I knew it anyway, but we were waiting to have a baby and then I could get maternity leave. And, you know, you have this plan.
Sure.
And the plan doesn't, it works out, but it doesn't go to plan. So it was just, my soul was just sinking. So I went to do Tony Robbins, Unleash the Power Within. In person.
I've done that virtually as well.
Oh, so walked on the hot coals.
Wow.
Incredible. That was May 2012 in London. And in that 4-day event was when Strong for Life was born, the name. I'd already done sort of my nutrition training, my Reiki training, and went on to do the wellness coaching. And that event made me believe I could do it. Rather than it being a hobby and something I loved, because... I'd been brought up, which I think many of us had, whereas to earn money, you had to work hard, you know, and you didn't like your job, it just gave you your salary.
That's what you did.
And that's what you did. And so it didn't feel right to earn money from something I love doing. It's like, well, this isn't work. But actually now I'm like, I remember seeing this sign in this school that I did a presentation at, and it was like, find something you love doing and find someone to pay you to do it. And I'm like... Every child needs to know that, right? So, yeah, fast forward. So I did that event and Strong for Life was born. And then in that October, I'd been in finance 19 years. I handed my notice in.
Wow, that's a big day.
A huge day, because also that year, my mum passed away.
Oh, yeah, so lots of change.
So 2013 was the most bonkers year I could ever imagine. Like, every big event was thrown at us. We when I say we lost our house, we sold our house because we'd bought the place here, but we had to move in with the in-laws. Then my mum passed away, then my granddad passed away. I'd handed my notice in finance, and then 2 weeks later, after my mum passed away, I found out I was pregnant.
Wow.
After 3.5
God, now I've got the goosebumps.
Yeah. It was just, it wasn't even a year, it was 3 months of the most intense. It was like my life had been quite plain sailing.
Yeah.
And I was like, all of a sudden, it was like this volcano had erupted and I was on this like down spiral. It was like, because finding out I was pregnant should have been the happiest day of my life, because we'd been trying for 3.5 years. Yeah. But it was these mixed emotions of like grieving, but not properly grieving because I was living in the in-law. It was just...
Yeah,
mental.
And also the thought that, you know, the you wanting to have your mum there when you had the news and all of that. I totally get that. I've lived through that too, as we all know. But
Yeah, it's
almost feeling guilty as well that you're being happy when you should be feeling sad.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, it was so. And then we'd already bought the place in Ibiza, so it was then this like, fuck, like, how the fuck are we going to do this?
Yeah.
And sorry for swearing, actually. No, don't know if I'm allowed to swear.
I'm under the explicit category, it's all good. We don't mind. People swear.
So, yeah, that was a really... When I look back now, I was living on my nerves. I was living on adrenaline and just... When I say head in the clouds, that can be a nice thing, but it was just this, like, I felt like I wasn't in reality. I felt like my whole life had been ripped away in overnight, even though some of those decisions I'd made.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect all the decisions to...
No. And also, there were decisions that, putting myself in your shoes, it's such a big, courageous thing that you did to leave your job after 19 years, that stability...
Good salary, you know, company car, pension, yep, healthcare, all good of it.
And then go walking into something that, like you said yourself, that you already feel a bit like, am I meant to be enjoying this and getting paid for it? So then it's the doubt that sets in that you think, shit, is this actually going to happen for us? We've sold our house. We're living in our in-laws' bedroom. You know, we've now got to provide to pay the mortgage on this bloody house. And we've got a baby, which we've wanted for so long. And almost when you're trying for that amount of time, you never almost feel like you're going to get there. So it is still a shock, even though you've been trying for a long time.
Yeah. And then you have the reality of it. Of like, oh, is the baby now going to be all right? And he's going through all this trauma.
Yeah.
And like,
babe.
Yeah.
So how did you end up eventually moving here then? How did you jump from living in the pet in the in-laws' bedroom to actually making the move, packing up a van, I suppose, with all your worldly goods? Had you had the baby? Did you have the baby there? Or
so
did you have the baby here?
So what we did, we ended up like house-sitting in the UK. We spoke to a friend here who recommended we stay in the UK to have Angel being our son, and he's called Angel because of when he was conceived, which was just after my mum, and so that's where the name Angel comes from. So we were house sitting, we decided we were going to have Angel in the UK, and I did all the hypnobirthing and wanted to have, well, no, wasn't going to have a home birth because I didn't have a home.
You need so that to have
we
a home
need
birth.
A home birth, but I had one-to-one midwives. It was this kind of what did they call it? We didn't have to pay for it. It was incredible. They were piloting it. It was the NHS were piloting this one-to-one midwife. So I had, it was all very holistic. And then we were really, really happy. We decided to stay at home because the birth was quite traumatic. Mm. It was an emergency C-section. And they said that he wouldn't have survived 10 years ago. And like, it was, they had to knock me out, literally general anaesthetic. So it was like, I'm really glad we were in a country where we could speak the language.
Yeah.
So that all happened divine timing. But in between all of that, I'd been like, well, let's just get a yurt on the land and we'll stay in the land and I'll be in the yurt. Phil was working away at this point on the rigs. And Phil's mum was like, I don't think living in a yurt when you're pregnant. And I was like, maybe not. Thank
I love this.
God.
Can I just cut in here that, you know, you're the finance girl, corporate life, 19 years, and then all of a sudden, I want to live in a yurt and I'm pregnant and, you know, you're really encompassing the whole hippie side of Ibiza.
Yeah. I mean, I am a hippie at heart and I describe myself in my work as part practical, part spiritual.
Which I think is the best mix, might I add.
Yeah. Anyway, so we came here. The midwife then said, wait until he's 8 weeks old because their ears aren't formed properly, so he might have problems on the aeroplane because we didn't have a van. We literally packed up cases and flew over with nowhere to live. Okay,
so we. Because your house was under construction.
Our
at the
house
time.
Was derelict. Like, no way could you live in that. But everyone had been like, oh, come at the end of the season, it'll be easy to find somewhere. Bearing in mind, this was 8 years ago. Mm. It wasn't easy. So we found a little apartment in Asparagus behind our house. So dead ideal, only for 2 weeks. And then we ended up finding an apartment in San Antonio, which wasn't where we wanted to be. So we were in San Antonio for 6 weeks, I think it was. But I was really uncomfortable. Like, I couldn't sleep. Angel didn't sleep as a baby at all. Yeah. Which now looking back, I'm like, of course he didn't. Like, how much was going on? Mm. He was just yeah, his little nervous system was probably all over the place. So we have finally found a little apartment in Siesta, because then we had to pay the mortgage on the house, even though we couldn't live in it, and the rent. And I had a new baby, wasn't really working. So it was a lot of stress. but even with all that stress, I knew we'd made the right decision. I knew that this was where I belonged. And I realised I'd never felt at home in the UK. Like, even as a kid, I was like, God, this is, like, where I belong.
And Phil felt the same, obviously.
So Phil took longer because Phil worked away. So Phil was 3 weeks on, 3 weeks off, or 4 weeks on, 4 weeks off.
On the rigs, did you say? I mentioned, wow, that's a tough job too.
Yeah, so he was away a lot, so I was on my own a lot. And which was hard when Angel was younger. I mean, now he's here all the time. I'm a bit like, oh, maybe it'd be nice for you to go off and do it now and again. But then it was hard because Angel didn't sleep. I was breastfeeding till like, he was 21 months. So he's took longer, but now since the big old C word, I don't know whether to mention that or not. I think it gets...
So it's out there, isn't it? We can't deny it.
But since then, Phil's now here full time and he's integrated a lot.
And also, you're
now
living in this wonderful house now.
Yes.
You know, you're in... How long have you been in now?
Mortgage. Yeah. We've been in 4 years. We've still got loads to do.
Yeah.
We've still...
But it was habitable. So you didn't have to pay two, you know, a rent and a mortgage. And you could, you know, bring Angel up in his own home. And
exactly.
You know, I think I've still never been inside your house.
You need to come, babe. We literally moved in. So Phil was always like, oh, I want to be in for my 40th. And I can't wait to be in our bedroom because the windows are really open and there'll be a storm. We moved in on his 40th birthday and there was a storm that night. And it was June.
Wow. When it never has a storm in June.
So, yeah.
That's cosmic ordering.
There's been a lot of cosmic ordering. It's like, it's been very, very challenging, very, very stressful, but also magical in the way that you, like, wow, I didn't think we could ever do that, and it's happened. And wow, and that's just slotted in when we needed it to.
But you have the belief. It's the same with the business. So tell us how Strong for Life is doing now. When did you get that up and running?
Okay.
And what do you offer within that?
So it's been a slow burner, Strong for Life, because I literally set it up back in 2012.
When you did the Tony Robbins, that was born, the idea.
And then I kind of ran alongside. So I was doing finance and I had a few little clients and I'd done like wellness coaching with a spiritual coach in the UK called Shola, and that's called Energy for Life. So the spelling's the same. And that's a lot of... energy balancing techniques with coaching, so energy psychology, energy foods, and bringing it all together. So that was very spiritual. But what that did was brought up a lot of shiz for me. Stuff that I thought I'd dealt with, hadn't, didn't think I had to deal with, did.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of coaches find that when you start training, you're like, I'm training to be a coach. And then you're like, oh, I've got a lot of shit to deal
with.
You're
coaching yourself first.
Absolutely.
It's almost, you know, it's kind of like you're the trial run before coaching anyone else.
Yeah, and I think it's important you have that time to do that, because otherwise you can be projecting that shit onto other people.
Yeah.
So that was quite slow. And then obviously I had Angel, then we moved here. But in between that, I'd started doing a few retreats with the yoga teacher I then trained, two yoga teachers actually, that I practiced with at the time, and did little workshops with a good friend of mine, Kirsty Gallagher, who's now smashing it with Luna Living. So me and her have done like workshops, and I've worked on her retreats, and loved the retreat world. Like, it is, you know, when you've just got somewhere where you're like, I thrive here. That's it for me.
Yeah.
So when I moved here very early on, about 6 months in, I met Susie Howell.
Yeah. From Ibiza Retreats.
Now she's Glow Retreats.
Yeah.
And me and Susie just got on really well. And she's like, yeah, I think you could work with us, blah, 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 blah. So I started cooking on retreats then, because I'm also trained in nutrition. And that was a real nice in-way for me. Got to know a lot of the therapists, a lot of the retreat space holders. And before COVID, did a couple of retreats myself. Then that put a, like, stop on it. Work with body camp.
Stop on everything.
Yeah. Except what it did for me is it gave me the push I needed to take my coaching online. Because technology is not my strong point.
Mm.
and still isn't. Don't think it ever will be, because I'm not that interested in it.
We can't be good at everything, Lisa.
No.
As we get older, we realise that. Yeah. We can't be good at everything.
Absolutely. And technology is my definitely down spot. But I'm trained in NLP now, so I went on to do more training, so neurolinguistic programming. So I now blend the NLP with the Energy for Life to make my signature program, which is Strong for Life. And after I'd done the NLP training, I was then literally March 2020 came, Phil's rig business went, my retreat, because I was working with the body camp. So the body camp, everything just went, stop. And I was like, well, I need an income. Mm. And that's when I started coaching more online. And I have been absolutely blown away with the results of how effective it can be online as much as in person.
Yeah. And I think, well, you know, it was twofold, really. You had the time and you had to learn to do it that way around. And all the other people that wanted the coaching had the time to actually be coached.
Yeah.
So let's look at it. This is a positive of COVID, you know.
For
a lot of people, I mean, Peloton, the bikes, they went like 2,000% increase or something during lockdown, didn't they? You know, because everybody had the time to do it. They could mail order it in, sit in their front room and still get out and about when they weren't allowed to go out. So there are positives to the big C, you know.
Yeah.
Those 2 years, which we all tend to forget about now. I really feel like that just was a time, a dead space.
But for you,
it was great because it was built the business.
It was. And it was for us as a family, actually, because Angel loved it. He don't like school. And I don't think it's anything to do with his school. He just don't like being told what to do. He's a real, like, I mean, he's an Ibiza kid. Yeah. Full stop. He's got long,
I've got
hair.
Two of them at home.
Yeah, exactly. But we've created that. Yeah. So we have to kind of... but he loved it, and it was time for me to get a bit more creative with him. But obviously, we were there as a threesome, as a family, which he wasn't that used to, because Phil was always away and not. And as I say, with my business, I then set up an office at home, and now I am so flipping grateful for Zoom. I hated Zoom at the beginning, and now 50% of my clients are in person, Ibiza people, which I love. I'm still an in-person person, but I'm super grateful for the clients online in Australia, in Greece, in Switzerland.
Like, so who is your program for then?
Okay, so this, I'm not great with my niche. I've done courses on Nail Your Niche and I'm like, God, what is it? So there's three areas where my clients seem to fall into. So there's three things. The first one is they want to feel calmer. So they come in, they're stressed, they're anxious, whatever. They want to feel calm. They want to create more balance in their life. And it could be creating life-work balance, or it could be just balance overall in all aspects of their life. So relationships, health, wealth, da-da-da. And they're curious about spirituality. So they may have been on a retreat, or they may have started journaling, or they may have, you know, been meditating. They're not deep in, they're on that cusp, and they want to find out a little bit more. And I think because I've still got that practical finance side of me that I don't think I'll ever lose. And I'm a Libran, so like all about balance. But I do believe in magic. Like I do believe in the universe. I do believe we create our reality.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like blending those two things together. So yeah, I work with men, women, like ages go from early 30s to mid 50s. So there's no kind of like, oh, I only work with women.
No.
But it's that they want more calmness, more balance, and they've got a touch of spirituality.
And so if anyone listening is feeling like, oh, I need to get in touch with you, Lisa,
yes.
I'm going to put all your details on the show notes at the end. I mean, everybody, I think, in this modern world feels like that we need a bit more balance of everything, you know. I always just tap into nature. I know you're a big nature girl yourself.
Huge.
And if ever I'm feeling a little bit overloaded... Because there's always time, isn't there? You can always make time, even if it's a 20-minute walk with the dogs
Absolutely.
In the mountains. So I think giving yourself that time to have a coach once a week or however, is it like a weekly check-in or
how do you do
it in the programme?
I work on it's a 3 or 6 month programme, but the 3 month is basically 10 sessions. So what I say to everyone at the beginning is we start weekly. The first 4 or 5 sessions are weekly. We build trust, we build rapport, and I go through the same programme, but obviously it's blended uniquely to that person.
Yeah.
but I work with something called timeline therapy, which is an element of NLP.
Yeah.
And that helps to shift negative emotions that have been there for a long time, like anger, sadness, guilt, shame, da da da. But in order for me to do that, the trust needs to be there. So that's why it's important we have that momentum of weekly. And then after the 4 or 5 weeks, they choose. So it might be like, I'm ready to go bi-weekly, or actually, I'm ready to go once a month. And we just work it around. So the 10 sessions might last 4 months, it might last 3 months, it might last 6 months.
You're guided by them on what they feel they need.
Absolutely.
And what progress they're making, I suppose, no?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to do it. I want to do it.
Cool. Yeah. But yeah, it's really important they have that integration time as well, you know, in between the sessions of like, because I give them, I say homework. Homework for Ibiza people doesn't work. So I say calls to action or wows within 1 week.
Yeah.
People in the UK kind of like, not all of them, but a lot of them like the word homework. So it's important they invest in themselves in that time.
Well, there's no point spending the money on a coach if you're not going to do the work. No,
I'm not fixing it. I'm just the guide facilitating you know, you do the work.
Okay, so talking about balance then, what do you love? I mean, especially as we're here in Ibiza and this is all about Ibiza, what is your things? What makes your heart sing here on the island?
Okay, oh my God, everything! I love Ibiza! So I've just done a photo shoot this morning at the venue we're doing our retreat in May, which is a beautiful venue up in San Carlos called Cansky.
And I've been
literally, drove in and my nervous system just went, dear. And it's exactly what you said, that nature. So wherever you are, even if you're in London, there's some beautiful parks. It's like, so this morning we were like barefoot on the wet grass. It was a bit dewy, but just really connecting with nature, I feel is the best element for balance.
Yeah.
Like just getting out in nature. If you're some people are coastline, sea, beach people, some people are mountain people. So it's like whatever you are, just even if you get out in your garden.
And here in Ibiza, we're spoiled because we have it all. We have the mountains and we have the sea. Are you a sea swimmer? Do you like to get in the ocean?
I went in the sea on Sunday.
Yeah.
So
is it cold at the moment?
It was cold. So it was Father's Day, Spanish Father's Day. English Mother's Day, which random, they're on the same day on Sunday. So me, Phil and Angel all went in the sea at Caloyonga, where we live, on Sunday. Yeah, it was cold, but it was fresh.
Yeah.
And I went with the intention of just washing off anything that's not mine, anything that might have attached, because I'm a huge advocate of energy and everything being energy. And obviously I'm working with clients quite deeply. We go into life history, we go into all kinds, and I feel it's important we cleanse. So yesterday I was at an Equinox event over in Escabels. I mean, the nature there is just epic. So we did Qigong, we did meditation, then we had a sound bath with Jeremy. So I just left there completely balanced.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah, beautiful. I always find I feel really, really energised, but also knackered. I feel so tired after sound baths and stuff, sound ceremonies. I mean, here, that's one thing. If I think back to my life in London and think that I would ever be sitting here saying that I enjoy sound baths and things, you know, it's what Ibiza does to you, though, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You either get on board or you don't.
Yeah.
But generally, I like to try a bit of everything.
Exactly. And it is a lot more accessible now. I think even in London, like everywhere, there's a lot of these sort of events on. But I first did a cacao ceremony in Warrington in 2012 with an amazing facilitator called Rebecca Shaman. For anyone who's listening, follow her as well. She's brilliant. But yeah, other things to create balance. Like, I meditate every single day when I get up. Even this morning, we started our photo shoot at 7:45. I still meditated before I left because it just sets me up for the day. And it can be 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be like 30 minutes. Mm. Just to check in with yourself. Like, what do I need today? How am I feeling? Where's my breath? Okay, am I really here? A huge fan of oracle cards, so I always do that at the end of a session with every client. But anyone can have oracle cards, right? And it's like this anchor to just like a little message for the day of like, okay, I'm here.
Yeah.
So that's a biggie. What else do I do for balance?
Well, just to enjoy Ibiza. What do you love to do with the family? I mean, do you still go out and dance? Do you and Phil still go out and have a big rave up?
Me and Phil don't go out enough together, actually. That's one of our things for this year. So we tend to go out more... Well, Phil loves his own company, right? Loves it. So if I want to go out, he's like, yeah, fine, off you go. So I'll still go out and have a dance. but I'm not, like, I don't stay up all night anymore. I cannot do that. I love my sleep. Yeah. Literally love my sleep now.
I think as you get older, you enjoy it more. I certainly do. And you realise how important it is.
I used to suffer with insomnia, so oh. I know how important it is, and I've really worked on that. So what I love to do in Ibiza, like the things I said yesterday, like once a month I will go off to some kind of event, whether it's a sound bath, whether it's a sound healing, like some of my favourite facilitators on the island is Elena, Spanish lady sound bath. She holds them at Open Space, which yeah. I love. I love that space. I love to train in nature. I love hiking. Mm-hmm. So I'll go on a good long hike with Bubbles, the little dog, yeah. and a friend once a week. Have you been to the place near Esvedra with the hall?
No, but I've seen it on the Ibiza hike station.
Let's go. Yeah, that's my new favourite. Yeah.
Well, we'll do one on the Sister Hikes group.
It's amazing, yeah. that place. I mean, that's the one thing I'd say to people. Like, the people listening to this podcast probably have a love of Ibiza and have probably been millions of times, possibly not seen the beauty of outside the clubs, their hotel bedroom,
or the
beaches. And I would, two things I would recommend, come out of season.
Yeah.
Like this time of year is so...
Pre and end of season is beautiful, isn't it? When everything's starting to open up again. I love that vibrant, the energy that you get from like now through till the... I mean, and you know, the season's starting early this year. 26th of April, all the clubs are starting to open. Ushuaia, they're all opening early this year. After COVID, they wanted to fill in some more. And they've been talking about it for years.
Yeah.
But from now, really, till then, is just stunning.
It's bliss.
And then you've got from the quieter part at the end of the season, which is my favourite month of the year, October. Yeah, it's just
my
so
birthday
nice.
Month. Yeah, yes. I love October. But it's busy retreat season, so October tends to be busy for me.
Yeah, of course.
May and October are big retreat months. Yeah, the hiking for me, like I had got into hiking in the UK actually. We'd done like Ben Nevis and Snowdonia and stuff before we moved here. But if I haven't done a hike a week in the winter, I feel like something's missing. Like a couple of weeks goes by and I'm like, why do I feel off? I'm like, I've not hiked. Yeah, I've walked Bubbles 20, 30 minutes, but it's different to like...
Get out of breath up the side of a mountain in the forest.
In the forest, see the coastline, see the sea. Yeah. Like, just, it literally, I can feel my nervous system going down and my cup going up.
Yeah, there's no downside of having a good old stomp in the mountain.
There really isn't. So, yeah, it's really exploring that nature. And as I said, I've been coming out for 22 years, lived here for 8, and I am still exploring new places.
Yeah, finding new places. Me too,
Which is amazing,
this is our 19th year of living here, and I first came in 99, and... Back then, I didn't do any hiking.
Did you know hiking exists?
I got my steps in on the dance floor, and I still do that now, which I adore still. But the hikes on the island, that's why I started the Sister Hikes. Well, actually, Dolly started it because she will be listening to this, but she's probably been on 2 hikes since she started the group. That's why we do the Sister Hikes and we all get out together, you know, because it's so important, and especially sharing and... You know, that's why I do this podcast, so we can share and showcase. So last thing before I ask you the last question, because we are going to go over and I'm aware of your time. The retreat that you mentioned in May, have you still got spots available?
We're
if anybody wants
out.
To come, you're sold
We're
out.
We're sold out. Which, so this one's with Mirella,
my
favourite PT on the island. She's incredible.
Yeah, she is amazing.
So Mirella Fitness on Instagram. So me and her, I've got this one coming. It's a women's wellness retreat. So that is in May, but we've sold out. And I've got another one with another PT in October, which is also sold out.
Wow, so you need to be doing some more then, girls.
Next year, we're definitely
going to
be doing
more. I was going to say to put it on there, but if everybody follows you on Instagram, they'll be able to see when the next ones are coming
Absolutely,
up anyway, won't they?
Yeah, and on my website.
Okay, so last question. One piece of advice, if anyone was to think about moving here or they're just coming for a holiday, what's the one thing that they can't not do?
Okay, so I'm going to say, I'm going to separate it, holiday and to move. So the first thing for holiday, honestly, I'm going to come back to hiking.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, and if you haven't been to Esvedra, go to Esvedra because I hear they're going to be shutting it off to the public.
Oh, really?
I heard it yesterday.
So you won't be able to go
I don't know.
The viewpoint?
That's what I heard yesterday. But
oh,
I mean,
no.
I've been
Fun
surprised
price.
How full that gets, even in winter. I went 3 weeks ago. That is a special, magical place. And I don't know if this was mentioned on your podcast, but it's the third most magnetic place
in the world.
And whether that's why it's so magnetic, because Sadie mentioned on her podcast about that we have the most returning tourists of anywhere in the world, which I just love.
Yeah.
And it's like, the island is so magnetic, but I feel like Ezvedra is a place to see.
Yeah.
Atlantis is a great hike to do, so you can combine those
two. It's a nice challenging one.
Yeah, so that's for the holidaymakers. And for someone moving here, I would say get connected with some good people that already live here. So there's some amazing WhatsApp groups, like big WhatsApp groups, IWOI, Hermanas, Hermanas Wellbeing. Get on the Facebook groups. Some of them can be a bit...
Be wary of Ibiza winter residents.
Yes. Real Ibiza residents is a bit kinder.
Yeah.
But there are some neggy eggies, as you get everywhere and anywhere. But I'll come back to my belief of, like, I believe you can make anything happen if you want it and believe it enough. So if you do want to move here and everyone's going, oh, it's so expensive, oh, it's this, or you'll never find anywhere to live. Like, if you come with that mindset, you're not going to find anywhere to live. But if you come thinking, I belong here and I'm going to make it happen, Ezvedra or Ibiza will make those doors open where before there was just walls. Yeah. I genuinely believe that.
Oh, that's a beautiful sentiment to finish on. I really, really feel that too. I really think that if you come here with an open heart and your kind of heart, and you're a good person, then the island will welcome you.
Yeah.
I mean, going back years, they always used to say that if you're not the type of person, the island will kick you off.
Yeah, I've heard
and
it.
And I truly believe that.
And you've seen it, right? You must have seen it a hell of a lot more than me. But I've seen it where people, like, if they get an obstacle after obstacle, and we all get obstacles. Yeah. It's a small island, right? Yeah. I'm not saying it's all rainbows and unicorns.
No.
It's a challenge to live here. And, you know, it takes you on this journey that you would never experience in the UK.
Or probably put up with.
You wouldn't. Like, even, like, coming down to, like, how you heat your house and this and that. And see the island just really puts these, like, fences up for people. And they don't last a year.
No. But luckily we have.
We have.
So
we're here
thank
for the long
you,
haul.
Lisa. Thank you
thank
so
you,
much.
Darling.
I'm honoured to be your friend. I can't wait to see where Strong for Life goes. And good luck on your retreat.
Thank you, darling.
I'm happy that you've sold out, but sad for everyone listening if they wanted to come on. But there are lots of amazing retreats.
Yeah, like you say,
Mirella's a great PT. And if you do come, you can have her as a PT as well.
Absolutely.
Maybe I'll get her on next.
Yes.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening, everybody. Thank you, Lisa, for coming.
Thank you, my love.
And I wish you all a wonderful day, and I'll speak to you next time. Bye.
Bye.